Hey, it's Dan here. In this episode, Tracy and I talk all about the four common mistakes organizations are making that stop them from being more innovative. We think you'll really like this podcast because we cover the common mistakes we see that sometimes aren't obvious when you're working within the organization. We feel that this will help you to not fall into these traps and instead continue to build an innovative and impactful organization. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Innovate for Impact podcast. You've got Tracy Newman, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Dan Bentley. Before we get into today's episode, though, I'd like to start with an acknowledgement of country. So I record here in Adelaide, so I'd like to acknowledge the Kaurna as the custodians of the Adelaide Plains region and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging.
And I'm on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nations, and I'd like to pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging too.
Excellent. Thank you. So today what we're going to talk about is some of the things that we see getting in the way of people innovating successfully. So this obviously ties into one of the topics that we talk about all the time, which is how to create innovative and impactful organizations.
Sounds good. Should we get to number one?
Yes, let's do it.
Number one is that organizations and leaders within the organization, they're not structuring innovation and their innovation is not resourced. So what we'll find is sometimes when we work with organizations is we'll go in there and we'll find that innovation is just a bit of a dog's breakfast. It might be happening in some teams. There might be some teams of the organization that have got processes and ways to sort of generate ideas, but it's not something that's consistent, something that's not structured. And so it kind of sometimes happens and it sometimes doesn't happen.
Yeah, I see that often organizations have this really big focus on ideas, like let's get lots of ideas, let's generate ideas, let's have a hackathon, let's get lots of ideas. But then how are we going to prioritize those ideas? What's the criteria that we need to know whether or not we're going to invest more broadly in something? What about if we need to do some testing? Where's the funds for that coming from? There's just that whole idea that innovation needs to be free-flowing and exciting and blue sky, but there's not a whole lot of resources and things that you need to sort of sit behind that and really make that successful long-term.
Yeah, and then what we normally see because of that is that they don't actually implement well. They don't get change. They don't get impact, results, outcomes from that because it's a lot of ideas and not a lot of action. So that's what we see. And then the other part of that too is that they just don't provide the resources for people to be able to innovate. So sometimes they expect people to innovate on their lunch breaks or somehow find a way to fix things and change things when they're, you know, running at close to 100% capacity. So that's really tough. I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast can probably relate to that. It is a bit of the nature of the sector in some cases, but what the really good leaders do is that they do really create that space and they give people time and they give people resources so that they can make that easy. When we do leave it up to chance and we do try and get people to squeeze it in to their daytime somehow, as you could imagine, that's not very effective.
Yeah, and it has that inverse effect sometimes where instead of people being interested in how they can make things better and really challenged by finding those ways to create even bigger impact, they become a little bit burnt out by it and they become resistant to it and therefore change becomes harder longer term as well.
So true. What's the next one?
Oh, look, it's where we see, again, organizations being just so internally focused, you know, like what do we need? What's going to work better for us? How can we make this process better for us? And often that looks like innovation that makes life more difficult for the people that they're out to support and less difficult for the organization. So, you know, what do we need? How can we reduce the time we spend on admin by pushing it out to the clients and getting them to fill out these forms instead? Rather than being really focused on how can we create more impact and how can we make sure that that impact is led and centered around what our clients really need.
You know, I was sort of listening to you say that and I reckon some people might go, oh, does that really happen in this space? It does happen. We do see it, believe it or not. And it doesn't probably look as blunt as how Tracy said it is. It's a little more subtle than that, but I guess what we see is that it's decisions that are being made at all different levels of the organization without consideration of how that might impact the end user. And often that can be driven by leaders who believe that they know what's best. I think that's the thing that I see a lot is that it's a bit of an ego thing for some people and they are sort of thinking, oh, you know, we know what's best here. I know what's going to get the best result. and they say, go and deploy this. And then people that are within their teams, they follow that chain of command and they just go and do that thing and try and get that praise from that leader around, well, we implemented this, it was great, everyone's happy. And I think the opposite of that is leaders who are like, go out and learn, go out and understand, go out and consult, go out and co-design and learn about what people want. And they have a really big understanding of what their clients need. They still understand what they need to do internally to access their funding and to keep the board happy and all those sorts of things. They understand those things, but they also deeply understand the needs of the people that they support.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, look, nobody sort of sets out on purpose to make anyone else's life more challenging, particularly when, you know, your whole reason for existence is to support people. It's more that lack of understanding of what's really important to people. And bearing in mind, of course, that that's continually evolving and continually changing. So previously, leaders were, you know, seen to be the people who knew all the answers, whereas we can see that transitioning now to being leaders are now the people who are really good at asking great questions and encouraging people to, through their building their own capability and capacity building, actually discover ways to find those answers.
Yeah, that's so true. The next one is really about leaders that are risk averse, I think is what we often see. When leaders are really risk averse and they really are there to keep the status quo going because that feels safe, you don't get much innovation, believe it or not. There's a culture of trying to look good and not make mistakes and do things perfectly. And that often then drives being risk averse, managing the status quo. That's kind of the behavior you then get out of that sort of a mindset. And that's often driven by people getting in trouble for doing the wrong thing or, you know, an environment where it's not safe to make a mistake. That's where you hear that word failure a lot more. Whereas in organizations that are not like that, we hear the word learning a lot more.
Yes. The easy way to know what end of the spectrum your organization is when something goes wrong, do we first try and find out whose fault it is, or do we first try and find out what it was that we learnt that we would do differently next time? And when you see people sort of saying, oh, well, I think so-and-so should have done this, or I think that should have happened there, and rather than the focus being on, okay, so as an organization, you know, what did we learn? How did we discover this? You know, how can we share that learning across the organization and have it be okay that things don't go according to plan as long as we're not continually repeating that same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And the final one.
As per usual, left the best to last, I think. So the biggest one is they don't have a reason for change. So Simon Sinek always talks about that, you know, start with why. So why is it that you're looking to innovate? Why is it that you're looking to do things differently? I mean, your comfort zone is called a comfort zone because it's comfortable. So if you want people to step out of that, it's got to be, you know, a really compelling reason for that innovation and reason for doing things differently. And that's the piece that we see that so often people don't spend the time on to really start with that solid foundation.
Yeah. This is one of those ones that you might be sitting there thinking, oh, look, I don't know if that happens. I mean, we work in a space where organizations are purpose-driven. I'll tell you what it does look like in real life. You know, we see a lot of leaders who are out there who are just really managing things like, how do we just focus on ticking all the right boxes for our funding. Like, that's a really good example, I think, of what it looks like in real life. So you might go, oh, hang on, that's an important part of running an organization. It is important to tick all the boxes so we get our funding. Absolutely understand that. But when that becomes the sole reason that we exist and the thing of why people are coming into work, then you can kind of do a lot of that by managing the status quo. Whereas what we're talking about with innovation is that you really want to have a reason to be doing something different. If there's no reason to change, don't expect people to change. If there's a reason to change, then people will go, well, actually, I might have to do something a little bit different here. And that might inspire me to do something a little bit different. It might allow me, like Tracy was saying before, to step out of my comfort zone to do something a little bit different because I have a reason to. That's what we're really talking about here.
Yeah. And look, we see some amazing innovation, and it is because this sector demands it, you know, to be able to continually support people with more and more complex needs with, you know, less and less resource to be able to do that is a really compelling reason for innovation and a really compelling reason to do things differently because we need to, you know, for our very essence, for our very survival. But quite often, because that's a challenging frame to look through, you know, sometimes it is really easy just to kind of slip back into that easy comfort of, well, you know, we've got these goals and we'll just, you know, follow the bouncing ball and we'll just do what we've always done. And, you know, we know what we're doing and we'll stick to what we're capable of and we'll just make sure that we do that really well. So there you have it. There's our big reasons we see that are getting in the way of organizations being more innovative. So first of all, they're not structuring their innovation and they're not supplying the resources that are needed to be able to implement great ideas. When they're thinking about what needs to happen, they're very internally focused and thinking about it from, you know, their own organization's perspective. And they have leaders that aren't creating that psychological safety and setting people up for success around stepping outside of their comfort zone. And they don't have that really compelling reason for change. So that really big why in terms of what it is that they're out to achieve. So there you go. That's the areas that we see that get in people's way.
Very nice, Trace. A nice short episode today.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Innovate for Impact podcast. Any links to what we spoke about today will be posted in the show notes. If you'd like to know more about social innovation, visit our website where we have a heap of tools to help you on your way. Visit impactoconsulting.com.au. Thanks for listening. Now go out there and make an impact.